And I appreciate him so much. Appreciate him coming over. And where's Miss Connie? I saw her earlier. There's Miss Connie. Stand up, Connie. I appreciate she is a student of the Bible. Very deep in the Word of God. Very spiritual. And she gives me reading material from time to time. And she usually puts a little bird or something on it where she cut out of a magazine. Appreciate you, Connie. And I love the ideas that she gives me and the things that she tells me, and I appreciate my wife.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate her being with me and been with me these 41 years. And our two youngest sons got married, one recently, one last Saturday, and the other about a month ago. One of them got married in L.A. I flew down there and got them hitched, and then the other our youngest son got married in there in Ellensburg, and we've been talking about wives, and we've got our youngest son scared to death, telling him what all this bunch of nonsense, basically. But you got to get them while you can. Once they get married and figure it out, they know they won't. They already know we're messing with them then. But I thank God for her and what she has put up with. I appreciate her following me out to the northwest to Ellensburg. It wasn't hard for me to get away from my family, but it was hard for her, amen. And I appreciate her and appreciate the preacher, amen, and his wife and what they mean to us. And he's an incredible preacher. He is gifted, and I'm jealous of him. I confess that tonight. If I had half the gift that he's got, he is really a tremendous preacher and administrator, and I really appreciate him texting me at 5:30 in the morning to let me know I was coming a day early. That meant a lot to me. Just a tremendous blessing. So it's good to be here with you. Brother heard that music. Everybody and the Wheels, they sang at our church. When was that? Last week? Tremendous job. And I like the way what you did and what your wife did and just letting the Holy Spirit move. And you can. Boy, when he's here, man, I know it. you know, I've been saved long enough when the Lord's presence, and I think really he's always here. We say that, but you know, he's not. Because we don't let him. We hinder him. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Revelation tonight, and I'll try not to be too scattered. I'm not an extremely organized person. I fight it with every fiber of my being. I despise structure, and you have to have so much of it. I don't try to get up the same time every day. My in-laws, they go grocery shopping the same day every week, and everything they do is just the same thing, and I can't stand it. So I just like to start in the middle and go both ways. And it's just how I work. And it works. I mean, believe it or not, it works. So thank God for God letting us be ourselves. Amen. Let's get our Bibles. Do you guys usually stand before you read? It's up to you. It doesn't matter. Why don't we have this side over here stand up? And you folks over here remain seated. Can we do that tonight? Would you stand up? I've never done that one before. Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and all ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Father, thank You for saving us, letting us feel Your presence here today. We can't do anything without You, and we really, in our heart of hearts, want to be a blessing. Just help somebody. we just help a little bit, Lord. It'll be great. But Lord, you can help a little bit or you can help a lot. I pray you'd move, God, in the during the preaching and give me the power and, God, give me what I need to say to your people and help us to have continue to have a good time in your house. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about Dr. Seitler preached a famous message on the four hallelujahs. I preach a lot of his sermons at our church because they don't know where they originated from. You may have heard some of my messages, Can God, the four hallelujahs, Payday Someday, among the few that I have originated in Ellensburg. But I just want to preach a simple message just on what I've been through this year on why not hallelujah? Why not hallelujah? This year has been kind of a rough year. My last brother passed away Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. And we had went down twice to see him, once to see him, and then we went down for the funeral. He called me one day last year, and he said, John, he said, my stomach's hurting. I got to go to the doctor. I thought it was probably nothing, Mike. And he went, and sure enough, he had a very fast growing cancer, and there was nothing they could do. And was at home, and the family came in, and we had a time. But he went through that process, and finally, in about a month or so, he died of that cancer. My last brother, pray for me. My dad died, I think he was 63. My oldest brother died before 65. My youngest brother was killed in a car wreck before 65. And let's see, if I left him, and then my brother Mike, of course, died before 65. So I'm 60. I don't have long. So I asked my nephew, my youngest brother's son, I said, how's your job doing? And if you got a good retirement program? He said, Uncle John, it don't look like I'm going to need it. He said, all us Allens are dying off before 65. So I'm a little nervous about it. I do have one sister with me, and she's visiting in Ellensburg. She's from Florida. And I told her a while back, I said, you know, whoever lives the longest gets it all. So my goal is to outlive my sister. She's a little younger. I mean, you know how it is with women. They never die. They live to be 200 years old. They just never die. And all the stress on us men, you know, we can't hardly take it. But I went through that, and then my wife had open heart surgery. How long ago has that been? 3 months ago. And I went in, thought maybe she's going to get a stent or something, and 80% blockages. And I know they do it all the time, but they do it to everybody else all the time. It's different when they do it to you or your wife. And so she went through that, and thank God she's finally back to work. And I didn't get a dime of insurance. So we went to the doctor, Dr. Sharma in Yakima. He's one of the best in the state in bypass surgery. And he's from India. And we went in and talked to him, and just a great guy and great surgeon. And he's Hindu, I guess. And he's a priest. And I told my wife, we went in, I said, let's don't be arguing about religion. Get this guy all upset. I said, at least if you don't make it, you got a chance of, you know, getting to heaven or coming back as a church mouse or something with their beliefs. So we didn't want to upset. I said, we'll witness to him afterwards. Let's don't get him all nervous under conviction while he's cutting your chest open. So it's been quite the year. Quite the year. And I was, you know how God does little things. I lost $150. What day was that? Monday. Going from the bank to my car. And I ran into a friend. I was talking to him. $150. Went in the bank. I said, are you sure you gave it to Canada or Teal? Was it there? And so the next day, we prayed about it. And not a big deal, you know, when you're wealthy like I am. But I didn't want to sell any of my stock, but so she called the next day. She'd already counted the till, said, we found it. And I was at my office at Starbucks, sitting outside, and And when she told me that, I said, "Hallelujah, amen," and got all those looks. I said, "Y'all like that word? I'll say it again. Hallelujah, I found my money." You know, this is a great word. Four syllables, unless you're from the South, then it's 6 to 8. If you're in Alabama, I think it's 8 syllables. North Carolina's only 6. Hallelujah! What a Savior. That's just a great word. It means praise the Lord. We had a missionaries. They're Jewish from Yakima, Washington. The Rosencrans, and we support them. And they're in Haifa, Israel. And they came and presented some stuff about the tabernacle and whatnot. And we were having some good music. I said, "Hallelujah!" And I heard this proper pronunciation, "Hallelujah," with an arrogant tone, as if to say, "We're Jewish. We know how to say it." And I said, "Last time I checked, the Gentiles were still the ones grafted in, amen, the wild olive branch." So we had a good time with that. People pronounce it different. Some pronounce it in a strange way. It's a strange thing I've ever heard, and they can't be right. Who can say that word? God's people, saved people, blood washed, born again people.
Amen.
You know, of all the words you can say in the Bible, when you say that word hallelujah, it's like throwing a wet blanket or getting a garden hose and just soaking somebody down that's unsaved, doesn't like God. They don't know what to do with that word. It's so long to start with. It should have been one syllable. Just you get so excited, and then you got to say, "Oh, hallelujah!" Takes forever. Folks don't like that word that don't know Jesus. And you know what? I can say that word with God's people, and we can all be shouting, and we can all say hallelujah. I'd say it by myself. If you don't want to say it, I don't have to wait till you get excited and get your mind straightened out. I can say it anytime I want. There's nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah!
Amen.
I've been trying for 20 years to get people from the Northwest to shout. It ain't going to happen. So I take them to a Mariners game, you know, when they're playing good, or the Seahawks. You can get them to shout there. Amen, Brother Art. But they'll let me do it. They'll let me get excited. They'll let me run around. What was that? Last Sunday I was preaching. I don't know why I was preaching. I was trying to get people excited about the Lord. I said, "Let's practice it." And I came to this row. I was walking down the aisle, and I came to this row. I said, "You say hallelujah." And the next row, "You say praise the Lord." I ran out of stuff to say. And the time I got around this side, coming back to the front, it was, "How you doing?" "I feel good. I don't know." And so we all stood up. It sounded pretty good. You couldn't really distinguish anything, but they were raising their hands. Hallelujah. I grew up in the First Methodist Church in Salisbury, North Carolina. It's a big church. Good people. Did the best they could, but didn't preach the gospel. Preach work salvation. Keep the golden rule. And we would walk by segregation, a black church. I don't know what the denomination is, but I know they climb the walls. And I walk right beside of that church. And you could hear those folks in there. They didn't care what the white folks thought walking by the church. Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen! Glory to God! And I thought, man, isn't that silly? Why can't they be dignified like the Methodists? Because the Methodists don't believe nothing. Why not hallelujah? It's an appropriate word for a clear-minded Christian, not a clutter-minded. Is it true? All that hallelujah implies, is it true?
I'm going to see my brother again. And my mom, my dad, and family members that got saved. Am I going to see them again? Hallelujah! It's a high state of mind. It's an attitude. It's a supreme word. It's a superior word. It's a state of existence. How are you living? Are you living hallelujah?
Yeah. Amen.
Is it real? The ultimate. Somebody said something about being real or something to that, Brother Hurd, I believe it was. But it's the ultimate expression of reality. I think that's what you said or something like that. They arrive in heaven, this group. I'm in this group. I'm in this group, the Gentiles that are praising God. They arrive in heaven and they begin to shout this word for a lot of reasons that things, a false religion has been judged. God has vindicated them. They begin to say that word hallelujah because of their surroundings and because of their Savior. What's wrong with the word? Why not hallelujah? You know, it silences those that are doubters, silences those that are quitters. I like that word. It's an eternal word. It's an everlasting word. It's an earnest word. Somebody said that Catholics use the word hallelujah for Easter and hallelujah at Christmas. I got a friend that's he's a millionaire in Ellensburg, and he's a Catholic. But he likes me, and I like him, and he's the best communicator I've ever met in my life, bar none. And that man, I told my son, sit down and listen to how that man talks. He don't waste a word. He pauses when he needs to pause, and he says everything that he needs to say, and he's a saved Catholic. What about that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he says, he told me some things that he tells the priest. He said, you're wrong about this, you're wrong about that, and you ought to let the priest get mad, and you can go straight to Jesus. And the only thing that's really important is the blood of Jesus, not all this ritual. And Mary. We shouldn't be worshiping Mary, and I don't worship Mary. I said, why do they put up with it? He said, because I'm one of the biggest donors in the church. I said, okay, Brother Andrew, that sounds good. Why not hallelujah? I'm going to talk about some things I've never talked about in the pulpit, and I might regret it later. But I've never preached this in my church. I've never mentioned this. Matter of fact, there's some things only my wife knows. And right now, other than a person in counseling, I felt like I need to share it with. And my wife and my oldest son, I never shared some things I want to say tonight, but I feel like I'm 60 years old. I've been preaching in Ellensburg for 20 years. I feel like maybe it might help somebody, and I really don't care what people think. So, hallelujah is used here when God rights all wrongs. You know, you can live in the past with things that happened to you, stay in counseling all your life, and some, good Lord knows, some folks need counseling and medication, a whole lot of stuff. I'm glad some of my members are sedated. It just makes it a whole lot easier for me to manage people when they're drugged up, and I just praise God for that. They're saying hallelujah because the wrongs have been righted, the wrong of a religious system. Who's right and who's wrong? And who I was preaching the other day about the Wednesday night about the divisions in the Bible of the two foundations and of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, and all through the Bible you find that the broad road, the narrow road. A lot of folks, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God's going to right every wrong. He's going to right every wrong in religion. He's going to right every wrong in your life, everything that's happened to you. When I was growing up, We had a pretty rough life. A lot of people do. I talk to people all the time about this. In a church this size, or some of you that I'm going to mention that you've been through, and I really debated whether to talk about this because I never hear anybody talk about it. But I'm going to talk about it tonight for a minute because I want to give God the praise, and it has to do with this whole fall of why not, hallelujah. My dad was a drunkard, and he beat us, and he would hold a knife to my mom's throat sometimes. We got big enough to protect her, and we lived in pretty much constant shame. Rough life. A lot of people have been through. There's nothing really new about that. And the other thing I want to mention, when I was about 10 or 11 years old, I was molested by a 18-year-old boy, or young man, in our neighborhood. My family didn't protect me. My dad didn't protect me. And when my dad found out about it, he got his belt, was about that wide, and took my shirt off and beat my back till, and we'd gotten beatings before from time to time, and I could kind of deal with that because it'd be over. This time I think this man is not going to stop. He's going to kill me. And he lashed my back with that belt till I thought I was going to die, and I lied to him. I said, "Dad, I love you. I'm your son here. You're killing me." And he finally stopped, and later, I don't remember, I remember that part, but I don't remember a whole lot about afterwards, but we ended up going to, and had to go to the emergency room, and Mama didn't like that a whole lot. Mama's a little hard on the man after that. And that's when some of y'all have mentioned that we lived in Nia Bay. I was sent to Nia Bay to live with my brother and his wife, which really was such a, God, long before I got saved, began to turn things around in my life and help me. And we lived in Nia Bay, Washington for the summer when I was about 12 years old to kind of get away from all of that stuff and get away from my dad for a while. And I remember being in my brother's and his wife's, my oldest brother and his wife's house, and I kept waiting on them to argue and scream and cuss and throw things and beat people. And it never happened. I never knew people lived like that. I never knew that you could have a life where you wasn't trying to kill each other all the time. And that helped me so much. My sister-in-law and I, when we went home for my brother's funeral, we talked about that stuff and kind of filled in the blanks of some things that happened and the positive things that she did. But I really got down when my brother died. I wanted God to let him live a little bit longer. And you know, if you're human, I don't care if you're a preacher, what kind of Christian are you? You're gonna doubt God, and you're gonna get mad at God. And some of you have lost loved ones. You've been through severe things, and some of these testimonies talked about that tonight. But I finally got to the point. And I said, you know what? I thought about my brother Mike. Now I'm saying, why not? Hallelujah. My brother Mike, we got saved in 1976. Me and my wife, and I went over, I took my preacher over to my brother's house, the one that just died of cancer. And I had my pastor talk to his wife, and she got saved. They were later divorced, but he cussed me out. Just cussed me out for bringing the preacher over. And you shouldn't cuss, but if there's anything to cuss about, it'd be that. Bringing the preacher over. And he, there was nothing Christ-like about him. Sometime in the process of time, since we've been out here in Washington, he accepted Christ as his Savior. And I've got to watch him die. I've been around folks that died, after they died, watched them dying, about to die, in a hospital and in home. I've never seen anything like it. He'd sat there, and he had that cancer, and he would sit there, and he would be like he was asleep, and he'd wake up and look to see if I was still there, if his daughter was still there. Family come in. He appreciated everything that was done and loved the family so much and trusted God, didn't have to. It was just incredible. My brother Mike, and I'm thinking, who is this man? I grew up, he tortured me growing up. But the grace of God came in his heart, and to see what God did in my family is what I'm talking about. I got to preach. My oldest son and I preached his funeral at the First Methodist Church that I grew up in. And they said, we're going to get this preacher to do it. My aunt said, I said, no. God is going to do it. And his son Paul is going to do it. And I thought, my mind just flooded back all those years and all that shame and all that trouble walking to that church. And here we were, and finally in the pulpit. After 30-something years of being saved, and I took advantage. And that poor Methodist preacher said, oh, you know, they got two pulpits. I like that idea. You ever been? They got two pulpits. I'd love to wear a robe. I might lie. And all that stuff, you know. And preach at that pulpit a while. And then preach at this pulpit. And he sat over there and squirmed. As we talked about salvation by grace through faith. And never once. Not doing the best you can. All my cousins and all my aunts and uncles and everybody that's left was sitting in that church while me and my boy preached Jesus in the First Methodist Church. Why not? Hallelujah. You know, listen, God saved me. God gave me a family. Man, I hated what I went through in my life, but God gave me a family. I'm not damaged goods. Matter of fact, my grandson, I did my youngest son's wedding the other day at another church, and my grandson said to me, Papa, he's 6 years old, he said, you're in charge of everything. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I ain't charged of nothing. Yeah, you are. I said, you're up there at church on the platform, and then you're in here at this thing, and you're done. I mean, I didn't even know. Oh, I had about 15-minute wedding to do. I didn't plan, but he said, you're in charge of everything. I said, I guess I am. I'm a long way. Hallelujah. You know what? I can wear, look at these shoes. Ain't these nice? I can wear brown shoes with a black belt. There's nothing you can do about it. It's too late now. My son just chasing me for wearing a black belt. Heaven forbid. I love these shoes. Who would have thought? That God would have saved me and let me preach the gospel. Hallelujah! Who would have thought my wicked cussing family would have come to Jesus Christ? Hallelujah! Who would have thought God would have gave me a family? Our kids don't have a clue. Don't have a clue what I went through. My wife saw a little bit of it. We were dating then, and she saw a little bit of things that went on. And that's why I laugh about everything. You folks that laugh all the time, they've been through some rough stuff. That's the only way I can deal with it. There's not many things I don't laugh about. Man, I got a home! I got a wife that loves me! We're serving Jesus together. Yeah, hallelujah. My dad only heard me preach one time. First message I preached was on false prophets. And he had a little cassette tape. My mom gave it to him. Here's what he said. He sure believes what he's talking about. Hallelujah. My kids are in college, making good grades. My youngest son's still raising me. He's so much more mature than me. I'm telling Brother Hurt I made him a deacon. He just got so much wisdom, Brother Art. Well, we just got two deacons, Brother Art and my son Joel. He's got so much wisdom. For a young man, when I grow up, I want to be just like him. What is it that has descended over our shouting Baptist churches? What is it? What cloud is it has come in our midst? I'm talking about all of our churches, very few seem like full of praise. God, what is it? And how can we get rid of it? Oh, what is it? Hallelujah! Brother Mark, can I hear you?
Lord, I've been waiting 20 years for that. Is it too much on her mind? One of my relatives talked the other day, and he was preoccupied with death. He was talking about death. I said, look, care not. If you're going to give all that credence and worry to death, you have got to give eternity equal time. I'm getting up. I'm not staying down. I'm going to live forever. Can you imagine that? Can you? We're going to live forever and ever and ever. Yeah, but how am I going to take care of that bill? You won't have to pay that bill. We need to get our mojo back. Right every wrong. I can say hallelujah because God took care of me. God took care of me. A friend of mine we were praying for. His brother's in a coma down in Oregon. He was riding on his dune buggy in a sand rail. I guess a big dune buggy went over a hill, broke the rules, and landed on top of him and crushed his arms. He's 39 years old. He's not saved, but crushed his arms and his skull. They had to take a piece of his skull out. And we followed it on Facebook, and they said, yeah, they've x-rayed his brain. He's done. I kept telling Kent, his brother's a friend of mine, and Ellen's like, I said, you know what? God can do some things. And he called me 2 days ago. He called me crying. He said, you won't believe what happened. He said, my dad was with him. He said, he's trying to talk. And he said, I told my dad, give him just a little spoonful of water to try to get him his mouth where it's not dry. And he gave him water. He got chewed out by the nurses for it. And sure enough, he said a word first time in months. Said he would never do that. Then they started feeding him applesauce. They haven't been feeding him anything through his mouth. They fed him applesauce. He was able to eat. He said something else, and they took him to a rehab center. And he said, I hate this place. Get me out of here. Hallelujah. Ken said he said when he got ready to leave, said his wife said, gave him tried to give him a kiss on the cheek and said, he turned his head around. Said, you're going to kiss me here, baby. She kissed him on the mouth. I started crying. He was crying. He said, thank your church for praying. Thank your church for praying. We got people all over town to call us about praying. Thank you for praying. Just crying. My God hears. My God's got my back. My God answers prayers. God has took care of me. God has blessed me. Hallelujah. Why not hallelujah when God rights the wrong? Why not hallelujah when God takes care of you? But isn't this how it is? God takes care of us. God, please do it. God, please let me find my $150. Come on, Jesus. Come on, show yourself. And he does it the next day. And it takes, okay, how about that other thing? That was your kid did that, kid. Knock them for a loop. Hey, can I have this now? Give me something. Why can't we dwell with a thankful heart? Why can't we just appreciate life and our family and the loved ones you've got with you? If you've got family in church, hallelujah. My grandson, Charlie, he's on the platform. I was terrified in church growing up. He's got to be real rabbit. He lays down on the platform, playing his harmonica. I got a picture of him. He's pretty good. I wonder if kids are My seven-year-old kids are pretty gifted pianists. He's playing a harmonica. What in the hell? Hallelujah, God took care of it. Hallelujah, we alive. Did you get that tonight? I don't believe that one. My pup is there now. You know what? If I could call him tonight, well, ain't it great to be pain-free? Ain't it great to be up in heaven? Hey, you want to come back and come to a family picnic? You want to see your kids?
Yeah.
I'll be leaving this place. I'll see him when they get here. Thank you.